Go ahead and be turning in your Bibles to Haggai chapter 1. Haggai chapter 1. It's great to see you this morning. It's certainly another beautiful day that we have to be able to come and worship our God together. And that's what we're going to be talking about this afternoon at 5 o'clock. We're going to continue our thoughts about worship and the things that ought to cause us to worship in the certain circumstances and situations of life, and looking at the scriptures and seeing what God's people have been worshiping about for a very long time, and seeing how it ought to affect our mindset with regard to worship. So if you have the opportunity, please come and be back and be part of that discussion at 5 o'clock. We have visitors today, and we're so thankful that you're here. We are always edified and encouraged when people come our way, and you've done that to us for us today, and we thank you. Thank you for being here. Come back any opportunity that you get. Well, last week we looked at the Old Testament minor prophet Zechariah, and we made the point that Zechariah, where he fits in the history of the nation of Israel, was after they had returned from Babylonian captivity. And so we'll just take just a minute to review kind of that timeline. Habakkuk would have been the prophet to whom the Lord revealed that he was going to use the Babylonians, that the Chaldeans were going to come and judge his people. And Habakkuk was not very thrilled to hear that the Chaldeans were going to be used. And the Lord said, yes, I'm going to use the Chaldeans, but they're going to get theirs for their cruelty and unfaithfulness. And so Habakkuk was before the Babylonian exile. Ezekiel and Daniel were during the Babylonian exile. Zechariah is after the Babylonian exile, nearing the completion of the temple. And just before that would have been the prophet Haggai. The remnant, those people who returned to Jerusalem after the Babylonian exile, one of the very first tasks given to them by God was to go back and rebuild the temple. You remember, they received that decree to go back to Jerusalem and be able to rebuild their city, and especially the temple of their God. And while they got back there and they laid the foundation of the temple, we read about that in, I think, in the book of Ezra, when they lay the foundation of the temple, and everybody's very excited. And that, even that, was a situation for the people to fall on their faces and worship their God at the foundation of the temple. But now it's about 16 years later, and they haven't gotten much further along on rebuilding the temple. They have just allowed the situations of life to creep in and cause them to be distracted. They've been more concerned about building their own homes and satisfying their own desires. And they've just kind of allowed the building of the temple to kind of fall to the back burner. And now it's not even a consideration in their minds. And so the Lord sends Haggai. And he sends Haggai to stir up the hearts of the people, to cause them to get serious about doing the work that he has tasked them to do, to build the temple of God. We're basically going to read, even though it's not a very long book, but we're going to read most of the book of Haggai this morning, just in our attempts to try to understand what this book is about and to try to make some application for it. We will be out of town for two Sundays in a row. When I return, it will be my intention to return to the book of Haggai and kind of zoom in on one specific application from what we're going to read today. Today's going to be more of a general application, and then we'll get a little bit more specific upon our return. So let's begin in Haggai chapter 1 in verse 1. It says, in the second year of Darius the king, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came by the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, this people says, the time has not come, even the time for the house of the Lord to be rebuilt." And the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, "Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses, while this house lies desolate? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much, but harvest little. You eat, but there is not enough to be satisfied. You drink, but there is not even enough to become drunk. You put on clothing, but no one is warm enough. And he who earns wages to put into a purse with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains, bring wood, and rebuild the temple, that I may be pleased with it and be glorified, says the Lord. You look for much, but behold, it comes to little. And when you bring it home, I blow it away. Why, declares the Lord of hosts? Because of my house, which lies desolate, while each of you runs to his own house. Therefore, because of you, the sky has withheld its dew, and the earth has withheld its produce. I called for a drought on the land, on the mountains, on the grain, on the new wine, on the oil, on what the ground produces, on men, on cattle, and on all the labor of your hands." So we've got this situation where the builders come back, and while they are certainly enthusiastic and zealous to lay the foundation of the temple, and they celebrate that great event, they just allow life to get in their way, and worldly pursuits. And what God says is because of the fact that the temple is just lying in ruins, because they have not worked on their spiritual life, worked on that spiritual connection with God and doing His will, because they've chosen to do their own will as opposed to His will, He says life is just not very satisfying. They're just storing up things, at least trying to, and they're pursuing all the worldly things of this life, making their houses great, earning wages. I love the way verse 6 puts it, earning wages to put it into a purse with holes. We have a phrase when we're younger, we seem to have money that wants to burn holes in our pockets. What does that mean? We just can't hold on to it very long, right? Because we gotta spend it. And if you've ever seen a young child, or even on up until a teenager starts paying for their own gas, you kind of see that idea, that mindset, right? You have a dollar. What can I buy with a dollar? What can I spend this on? And that's what seems to be going on here in Haggai's day. They're earning wages, and then it's just going into this purse, and it's falling right out the bottom. And at the end of the day, they find themselves no more satisfied than they were at the beginning of the day. They put on clothing, but nobody's warm enough. They eat, but there's not enough to be satisfied. They're sowing much, but harvesting little. Why is that? Because they're not working on their spiritual connection with God. They're not working on what's most important. They're not serving and following the will of the one true God, the one who has brought them out of exile. Again! He's brought them out. He's given them their homes back, and He's given them this task of making His house great. And yet God now says, "I don't have a house, and each one of you gets to run to your own home. You've been very zealous to build your own home, but you've not been zealous to build the house that I have instructed you to build." You know, in Luke chapter 12, Jesus tells a parable of a man that we kind of think of him as the rich fool, right? If you're to look at the subtitle in your Bible, it probably says something about the parable of the rich fool or the rich landowner. And what does he do? He puts all of his energy, all of his efforts, all of his zeal into sowing and harvesting and storing up. And then he gets to the point where he stored up so much stuff that he says, I don't have barns that are big enough to hold all this stuff. So what do I need to do? I know what I'll do. I'll tear down these puny little barns and I'll build bigger barns. And that way I'll have room to store up more and more and more, and I'll have stuff and I'll have wealth. And the Lord comes to him and says, you fool. Your soul will be required of you this night. And then what's going to happen? Who's going to own your stuff? Somebody else is going to take away all that belonged to you. And what's the outcome of that? You may have a lot of stuff, but your soul will not be satisfied in what happens to you at the end. You've not worked on your relationship with God at all. And I find this message, the message of Haggai, incredibly relevant to us today. Don't you? Doesn't this describe the rut that we can sometimes get ourselves in? Pursuing things, pursuing stuff, pursuing worldly satisfaction, pursuing all kinds of other things, while our spiritual house, while our relationship with God suffers. Because we don't have time for that. We don't have time for the building of a strong foundation. We don't have time for building strong walls of a strong relationship with God. Because we're using up all our time to pursue other things. To earn wages just to put into a bag with holes in it. Let's keep reading. In verse 12, it says, then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people showed reverence for the Lord. Then Haggai, the messenger of the Lord, spoke by the commission of the Lord to the people, saying, I am with you, declares the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, on the 24th day of the sixth month in the second year of Darius the king. Haggai came with the message. You remember what the people were saying? The people were saying, it's not time to build the house of the Lord. And Haggai comes and says, oh yes it is. It is time to build. We sing a song about this. This passage, this idea, this time in history is where we get the passage that talks about it is time to build. And I don't remember how the rest of the song goes, but I know there's a song about it, and I'm sure some of you know which one I'm talking about. And so he comes with this message. It's time to work on the house of the Lord. And not only has Haggai stirred up Joshua and stirred up Zerubbabel, but it says that he stirred up the spirit of all the remnant, and they obeyed the voice of the Lord, and they recognized, okay, we've been pursuing all these other things. It's time now to get serious about building this relationship with God, building this temple that He has instructed us to build. I hope that our message today has the same impact on us as followers of God as it did on them. To recognize that we sometimes get caught up pursuing all kinds of other things, just like the rich fool, looking for ways to tear down our small barns and build bigger barns so we can pursue more and bring in more and store up more, while we let our spiritual life, while we let our service to God suffer, because we just don't have time. We don't have time to work on that right now. We've got other things that we need to be concerned about. Look in 1 Peter chapter 4. You may want to put your mark there in the book of Haggai. We'll come back to chapter 2 in just a minute. But I want to read this passage from 1 Peter chapter 4. Really sums up what I've been trying to say up to this point. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 1 beginning. Peter says, therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose. Because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh no longer for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. For the time already past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desire of the Gentiles. I love the way the New King James reads there. Peter says, we have spent enough of our past lifetime trying to carry out the desires of the Gentiles. Enough! We've spent enough time doing that. It's now time to do this. And this is what he says about the will of the Gentiles. Having pursued a course of sensuality, lust, drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries, in all this, they are surprised that you do not run with them in the same excesses of dissipation, and they malign you. But they will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For the gospel has for this purpose been preached, even to those who are dead, that though they are judged in the flesh as men, they may live in the spirit according to the will of God. What's God saying to us today? He's saying the exact same thing that he was saying through Haggai back then, when the people were too bogged down with the things of this life, too preoccupied with the things of this world, and pursuing food and pursuing riches and pursuing the building and establishment of their own homes, and their spiritual lives were suffering as a result. And the message for us today is exactly the same as it was then. Do the will of God. Be more concerned about doing His will than you are about pursuing the things of this life. And the same promise that God made them, He has made to us as well. Look in Hebrews chapter 13. I'll tell you what I'm talking about. Hebrews chapter 13. You remember the promise that God made through Haggai? It's time to build. I want you to get to work. I want you to get serious about building the temple. And the promise was given, I will be with you, declares the Lord. God's going to be with them. He's going to be with them as they build. As they begin to work on this spiritual house, as they begin to work on this spiritual connection with God and doing His will and stop pursuing the things of this life and the will of the people, God promises that He's going to be with them. Look what your Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have, for He Himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. You see that the promise is the same? The promise given to them, I will be with you, is the same promise that remains for us today. Get to work on your spiritual life, on your spiritual house, raising up a spiritual family, doing the will of God. And God Himself promises that He will be with us. Go back to Haggai chapter 2. I want you to see the result that God promised to the people who were going to build this house. Let's look and see what kind of house this is going to be. Haggai chapter 2 and verse 1. On the 21st of the seventh month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, saying, who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? And how do you see it now? Does it not seem to you like nothing in comparison? But now take courage, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Take courage also, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. And all you people of the land, take courage, declares the Lord. And work, for I am with you. Again, there's that promise, declares the Lord of hosts. As for the promise which I made you when you came out of Egypt, my spirit is abiding in your midst. Do not fear. Have we not sung this morning? He is in our midst. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, in a little while, I am going to shake the heavens and the earth, the sea also and the dry land. I will shake all the nations, and they will come with the wealth of all nations, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house will be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. What's he saying? I want you to build. And I want you to get serious about doing my will. I want you to get serious about your spiritual life. Start taking your spiritual life seriously. Start taking it as seriously as you would bodily exercise, as you would working hard at your job and trying to advance in your career. Take it as seriously as you would making good grades and studying for your test. Work on it. Take it seriously. Build this spiritual house. He's telling them, be serious about building this house. Look at what it looks like now. Doesn't it just look like nothing compared to what it looked like before? But here's the promise. I'm going to be with you. You're going to build this house, and then I'm going to fill it with my glory, and the glory of this temple will be greater than the glory of the former temple. Probably sounded like blasphemy to some of those people who would have remembered what it looked like in Solomon's day. Well, not in Solomon's day, but before that particular temple was destroyed. But that's the promise God makes. Work at it. Take it seriously. Build the house. I'm going to bless it. I'm going to fill it with my glory. And that glory is going to surpass even the glory of the former temple. And he has the same message for us today. The same message for us today. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, Paul starts urging the Roman brethren and us to get serious about the life that we live. To get serious about making that a life that is lived for Him as living sacrifices. It's one of the things that we talk about at FCA a lot. In fact, I don't have the bracelet. I've got a different bracelet on me right now, but the first bracelet that I had Romans 12, 1 on it, because that was one of the things that we talked about over and over and over again. Romans 12, chapter 1, being living sacrifices. I gave that bracelet to my dad when I was visiting with him at the nursing home on our most recent trip. He's been focusing on Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. That's his memory work that he's given himself. And so he saw that bracelet on my wrist and said, Romans 12, 1. He said, what's that say? And so I quoted it to him. And he couldn't wait for Mom to bring his Bible from the house so he could read it in his own Bible. And he put a marker there so that Romans 12, 1 would be a new memory verse for him. It should be a memory verse for all of us. It says, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Doesn't that sound a whole lot like Haggai? Isn't that a pretty good summary of what the book of Haggai is about? Don't be conformed to this world. Don't pursue the things of this world. Don't just have these earthly pursuits. Get serious about pursuing heaven. Get serious about working toward that goal. Get serious about building up a strong spiritual relationship with God. Don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed. Proving what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. He goes on in this text to talk about all the gifts that we need to use. We need to build a spiritual house. And he's given us all kinds of gifts to do that. 1 Peter chapter 2. Peter uses the same imagery that we see in the book of Haggai. This idea of us being a house, a spiritual building. He says in verse 4, and coming to him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Could it be that at times we fall into the same trap that the builders of that day fall into? To get so bogged down about the circumstances and situations of this life that we let that spiritual house that we're supposed to be building lie in ruins? The encouragement today would be the exact same thing as the encouragement that Haggai brought to those people. Stir up your spirits. Stir up your minds. And realize that today is the day to start building. You are a living stone in the spiritual house of God. And He wants you to take that seriously. He wants you to take that seriously. Look back with me in Haggai chapter 2. I want to read the passage that Will read for us just a few moments ago. And I just want to leave you with this thought. Haggai chapter 2 and verse 15 beginning, but now do consider from this day onward, before one stone was placed on another in the temple of the Lord, from that time when one came to a grain heap of 20 measures, there would be only 10. And when one came to the wine vat to draw 50 measures, there would be only 20. They're coming for this satisfaction and it's just not there. It's just not there. From that time, I smote you and every work of your hands with a blasting wind, mildew, and hail. Yet you did not come back to me, declares the Lord. Do consider from this day onward, from the 24th day of the ninth month, from the day when the temple of the Lord was founded, consider. Is the seed still in the barn? Even including the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, the olive tree, it has not borne fruit. Yet from this day on, I will bless you. Joe, what would your life be like if all your spring mix seeds were still sitting in your house? And yet that's where Judah was. Seed still in the barn. Not doing any of the work that God had called them to do. But I love the way that Haggai says it. I love the way that the Lord speaks through Haggai and says, consider it now from this day onward. You know what that says about the way the Lord looks at things? Does He care so much about what happened yesterday? Does He care about all the things that you failed to do yesterday? All the things that you refused to do yesterday? All the things that you did to mess up yesterday? You did this that you shouldn't have done, and you left undone this thing that you should have done. What's He more concerned about? How are we going to respond to that? Consider it now, from this day onward. I don't even know what day it is. Is it the 11th? Consider it now, from the 11th day of the month of June in the third year of Elijah's time as the preacher at Northside, consider it now that you have the opportunity to get in the barn and get the seed and go do what God has asked you to do, to take your spiritual life seriously and to stop trying to live out the rest of your time in the flesh here pursuing the things of this world, but taking very seriously the task that God has given you to do as a builder in His house. There's all kinds of different ways we could use to describe this. You are a builder. God describes you as His own very workmanship. You're the handiwork of God. You know what else is described as the handiwork of God? The heavens. All the celestial bodies are described as God's handiwork, and so are you. What does Ephesians tell us that we've been created to do? What are we, the handiwork of God, to do? To do the good works that God has prepared beforehand. To take the spiritual life that has been given to you in Christ Jesus very seriously. And start building up this spiritual house. Get into your barn. Open the door. Clear out the cobwebs. Get the seed. And get out and start getting to work in the kingdom of our Lord and our God. If you're here this morning and you're not part of the family of God, you have an opportunity laid before you right now to become a child of God through faith in Jesus Christ. He loved you before He ever said, "Let there be light." God knew there would be a you that would live on the face of this planet. And the thought that you would live on the face of this planet and that you would commit sin and that you would choose to separate yourselves from Him caused Him, before He ever said, "Let there be light," to come up with a plan where He could redeem you. He redeemed these people in Haggai's day, brought them out of exile. And He wants to do the same thing for you. He wants to bring you out of the slavery and bondage of sin. And He wants to bring you to a promised land. Don't you want to go to that land? Don't you want to be with Him, the one who redeemed you from your sins? You can. That's the beauty of it all. You can. You can go and be with Him where He is. If you're willing to surrender your life to Him. If you're willing to obey His voice. Stop living for yourself. Start living for Him. Submit to His desire for you to have your sins washed away in the blood of Jesus. We can do that this morning. What an amazing thought it is that God Himself has invited us to become His child. And He offers that invitation to you if you're willing to accept it. Come forward as we stand and sing this song.